Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Martinez, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have a great guest here to introduce. It's Evan Three. On his first call, Fechner, who is a super interesting person from a really visionary filmmaker and changemaker, will tell stories that awaken hope, courage, and action for a sustainable human future. And afterwards, we have two guests here, which are moving the world of digital marketing. Marco Maiworm, Adnan Steinkühler from Sandbergs to Startup, turn childhood hacks into inner goat, a mission to unlock everyone's greatness. But first of all, we would like to kick off with a song selected by Carl.
Yes, hello. Hello, Annabelle.
Born under a wandering star, I was born under a wandering star. Wheels are made for rolling, mules are made to back. I never seen a sight that didn't look better looking back. Prisoner and the plains can bake you dry. Snow can burn your eyes, but only people make you cry. Home is made for coming from, for dreams of going to, which with any luck will never come true.
Welcome, Karl. Welcome, Karl Fechner.
Welcome. Thank you very much, Annabelle.
I'm very happy to could introduce you with this wandering star. I mean, it rings a bell not just with one sentence and with one line, but for me, it's not just a Western ballad. It's a kind of meditation on freedom and impermanence, sung by a man who's both the poet and the dust of the road. It is really, I think this song is really something which is great amongst other song by this authenticity of the voice, which is giving it a kind of graph, and also having this line of home is made for coming from, for dreams of going to. This is such a different definition to that what we are defining home here in Germany, isn't it?
Yes, that influenced me a lot. It is true. We are wandering on a wonder star, and we are living in a wandering star. This is right that, and it is worth to work for it and to save it.
Yeah, I think it would make it much easier for a lot of people if they accept that they're a wandering star, because then adaptability, set as being the number one instead of EQ or IQ, is the one people could profit from in nowadays times. So I think more people have to listen to this song.
Yes, it's a little bit old style, but yes, it was important for me, and it's still a little bit. But when I'm driving or when I'm riding, whatever I'm doing or flying, sometimes I'm singing it for myself. I
Wow.
was born, and so on. Annabelle.
You can move on. Maybe I can take the piano then left to me, and we can then make a small session.
Very good.
The song, and I would like to stay a bit with that, because I mean it's something which is really a song which could move the world if everybody in the world not only listen to it, but also understands it. What was the moment where you heard it first, or where it moved you mostly?
I cannot recognize that exactly, but yes, I mean, my life is when you're starting, I was very much engaged in the peace movement. This was influencing me, and this was because of my father's situation, because he was an officer in the Second World War, and he started the introduction or education, and with 18, and he came back from Russia with a 48 kilogram 10 years later, and that, because of that, because I got to know even more about his story, with tragic wrong ideas. My God, yes, he was still near Moscow. Oh, what an effort and what an error. That's why I learned a lot of war and peace. And this was the time in my youth, and I was not so much ecological engaged. I was engaged into the question, war, why war, and what can we do for peace? That's why I was part of the peace movement and all that.
I mean, like you described, and thank you for taking us into your story and into your pictures. I think it's very moving, because if you are someone who is fighting for peace and has to understand what is happening in the heads of the people, that they don't understand that war is not, has no future, peace is the future. If we want to save not only our ecosystem, but also us. Before I step more into the questions, and I have plenty of them, we are well prepared. I would like to introduce you to the hopefully very little of our listeners which don't know you. You have spent your life telling such stories, but a lot of stories which transform the way and the way we see the world. You are an educator turned filmmaker, an idealist turned global change maker, and you inspired millions through cinema, campaigns, and courageous conversations about what a lovable future can look like. From the fourth revolution to climate warriors, and now the story of a new world, your films don't simply predict the future. They help build it with every scene, every dialogue, every image. You invite us to ask, what if change is already happening and we are ones to continue it, and we are ones who ask by somebody or something bigger that we are not just waiting but active part of this. So today we look a little bit behind the camera and meet this man whose lens captures the courage of a generation, and hopefully many generations, will help us going like on a rocket to a future where peace is not a page in a book, but is the book of life we want to write.
Thank you for this wonderful introduction, Annabelle. Yeah, so.
Thank you. So I would like to start, and I mean, I of course I know a bit of that. We know each other for a couple of years now, and you built some pictures in my head already with the pictures, with the stories you told me. You started your career as a kind of educator. What kind of child were you? Courageous, rebellious, visionary, a good learner?
I was a good learner, perhaps, but I was shy. I was very shy. I always got red in the skin and the face, and yeah. That's, I mean, my house where I grew up was, let's say, it was a correct family. Yeah? My father's background, I told you. They were refugees, by the way. They came from no, it's in Poland, and they were very close to wood. They had a company for that. Yeah, my father's or grandfather's by that. So, what I was interested to theater is very important. Yeah, I was when I was 17, 18. I was nearly living in the city, in the town's theater in Celle, where I grew up, in Hanover, near Hanover. I lived there nearly. Yeah, it was very important for me, and I was on stage too and all that. And what I learned there is I fall in love with an actor. She was lying, and she said, "I'm lying on the stage." And yeah, what a tragic. I didn't want to do that, so I stopped to become an actor. I said, let's say, I would like to become a director or somebody who is leading, who is, let's say, really, influencing the reality of my background.
That's interesting. And I mean, you are, as I feel you, as I get you, you are somebody who has been always very engaged in things. So the things you do, you're not doing just for making money. I mean, that comes really last. Of course, you need money for producing everything, but the goal of the things you do is to change the world for the better. And you choose the right instruments, the right protagonist. You put the recipe together for trying to influence the people into the right direction. Was there a specific moment in your childhood, maybe a situation you can remember, that first made you aware of this injustice of the environment, and that these things happen and you would like to change?
Yeah, I was focused on peace and war, but and regarding the environment, I was part, let's say, the fight against the big fire, wood fire, yes. And we were 13, 14 years old, and this was because of drought. I speak about the situation, which is in the 60s. Yeah, so that was the first time that everybody spoke about, and it was because of the drought, because of climate change, as we speak in the, this is 50 years ago, well, 60 years ago. So, yes, but no, the main part, this is very important to know if you speak about the first part of my life, is this war and peace subject. Now, that's why I decided to go to the army. Yeah. to fight for, let's say, ideals, fight for peace, in a way which is just totally different than from my father's. And I was did a career there. Very many people don't recognize that. I was combat fighter and all that. I did a parachutist and all that.
If you think back to this time where you were at the military, fall also ideal to change the world also there for the better, which is great, I think, because going into the middle of the storm, going into the eye of the storm, and understand what's going on there, understand also the game of war and peace, of politics and mechanisms. How did you feel there? Did you feel like, oh, I got now the power to change something? Was it more to that you said, okay, I understand now the system, or what did it bring you looking back by maybe remembering a situation?
I was part of the peace movement, an active peace movement, and part of the army.
Military.
Active peace movement, yeah, and part of the. I was also very often I did interviews and all that because suddenly people recognized that I was an officer of the German army, yeah, and it's a peace movement, and very many people didn't understand that. But it was part of my life in that time. But of course, the head of the German army was a little bit, yeah, let's say. No, not frustrated, but they were wondering. Perhaps I said I'm crazy, to be part of the peace movement and really fighting for that and part of the army. But this was finished then. This when I was when I was I think 28 roundabout. I said, I wanted to. Yeah, to fight against borders in my life too. So I crossed the Sahara two times with a minibus, probably a Volkswagen minibus. Yeah. And this was if you have seen something like that, this is part of my, let's say my life. Yeah. So yeah. Okay.
I remember this from a picture in one of your books. The Sahara and the bus, and I asked myself, how is this experience? Because you were alone, weren't you?
I was with my wife and the child of my wife. So and all if you cross that, you always go to Taman Rasset. Everybody who's crossing that, yeah, it is let it go there. That is something with trucks, yeah, with four-wheel trucks and very expensive cars. And I went there with this old Volkswagen bus. There was I think 250 liters of gasoline on the roof and 300 liters of water. And then we arrived there where everybody goes to, and the people were very, what is going, what, did you cross the Sahara where we needed very expensive cars like tanks. I was with my family.
I can imagine that it was a great situation, bonding, but of course also having challenges if you're so close in such a special situation, wasn't it?
Yes, and it wasn't only that. That's why I started to learn flying, and I always wanted to, to cross borders. So, and that's part of that time. That time was I did lots of things like that.
How old was a child at the time?
It was two times, 8 and then 11.
Oh,
And she
wow.
said this was the biggest, of course, till now, not these 48 or something. Yeah. No, she said this was the most important experience in her life, still now.
Wow. This is
Yeah.
wonderful, wonderful. Because
Yeah.
these ex experiences like this can form also your character or give you some idea
Yes.
on what world should be.
That's why after this army part, I changed to try to change, to live for the world, for the education, for the environment. That was very important. I needed that before because I got to know for what I'm fighting for.
Maybe we should send a few people, just as Trump or Putin, into the desert for some weeks, to
Yes.
understand a bit better what life means.
Yes, that's right. Very nice. You're right.
So, this and some other ideas we will discuss later after the small break we have now for approximately 2 minutes. So stay tuned, and we see each other and hear each other after the break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We continue the talk with Karl Fechner, a visionary filmmaker and change maker, who tells stories that awaken hope, courage, and action for a sustainable human future. Karl, we already started before the break talking about your childhood, and as I was so fascinated, I asked you about also about your experience then you had in the desert, not your childhood, but where you were in the desert with a child in the age of 9 and 11, going through the Sahara twice. Really expressive. So you said that you are somebody who are breaking barriers, you are breaking walls again and again. And I imagine also, just to start now after after the break, that we talked also, for example, about actions and activities you did, and you were involved just as Hambacher Forst. And for the ones who don't know what it is, it was a forest, and a really a healthy forest, and they removed it for industry interests. And often things happen because of this. And you often ask yourself, do these people deciding this, do they have no kids? Do they have no contact to the nature, or what is, or is the idea for gaining profit so big and filling them that they don't feel anymore what's going on? Can you give me a piece of your idea about that, being so involved in that and seeing also these people front where you stood on the other side, fighting for the forest to stay?
Yes, those are not devils. They're not devils. So those are people who have ideas, but wrong ideas. Of course, they are influenced by their idea to make a lot of money, and that's why very often the subject is about energy. You know, it's, and they speak about, we speak about electricity. Yeah, so very often I speak about energy when I speak about, let's say, how we can solve that. Yeah. And that's why we have to control them. Yeah, the arguments they have is we need enough electricity and all that. And but this is over. We need, of course, we need energy, and we need even more energy. But this is proved that it can be let's say. Created by solar energy, totally by renewable energies, and that is why I'm so hopeful. Yeah, we have a solution. Yeah, but perhaps we as a movement or as journalists make as a mistake that we always communicate the problems. Yeah, it is a problem, of course. Yeah, we have the CO2 and we have this global warming and all that, and. But we give the, let's say, the visions we give to other people, nationalists or whatever. My vision is a world which is justice and which is, of course, driven by renewable energies, which means that it is lots of reasons around that. So yeah, and I can tell you that I was influenced. I was part of this 9th November 1989. Yeah, and that you speak about walls before, yeah. This was a day where I filmed the first piece of the Berlin Wall, which was pulled up. Yeah, and I'm still near to cry when I report you, when I tell you that. This was, and anyway, there were people who worked for that. For years and years and years, yeah. So I was part of this is part of the peace movement too, yeah. Because we said we are not anymore enemies, and you know afterward what happened with Gorbachev and all that. Yeah, I filmed it. That this was a big present in my life that I could do that. And that influenced me because I'm very hopeful. I'm optimist. I can tell you, and that's why I say let's people. Yeah, contact with visions which are clear, which are real.
You're absolutely right. And you gave me goosebumps when I was remembering when you told me about this, that you filmed this breaking the wall. I remember that I was sitting on the television, what I rarely did at the time. And my father, because my father called me and said, "Look what's happening here.
Yeah.
Take on your shoes. I will call the driver. We go to Berlin."
Yeah.
And we just sat in the car. Not even 5 minutes later, we sat in the car just with that what we were wearing on, and just going there. I was wearing a pajama, I remember, because it was at a time where I, as a small girl, should be in bed already. And I was staying with my house shoes and my pajama there in front of the wall, and I was just crying, overwhelmed of. This can happen, because I never thought that that will happen, and it felt so unnecessary, unpleasant. So hard against the people for me, that I was so happy that this could happen, staying next to the crying palace, the palace of tears in Berlin, where the people were limited beforehand. Families, if they wanted to seeing us each other just
Yes.
for an hour or so. So you are a storyteller for change, and you have made some movies already. Do you have the feeling that you get enough feedback and the right feedback on this?
About Alisi. I mean, it's never enough. If you are doing, if you're doing, working in mass medias and all that, yeah. But I learned that there are many, many people who really changed something in their life, which is very, very important. Yeah, that perhaps you can influence people. That depends a little bit. And this is the next part of the story of your professionality too. Yeah, we create very impressive pictures. Yeah, and the subject of our films is more and more is human beings, are people who are on the way to change. Yeah, personally or in their surrounding. Yeah, in the moment we were working for Welt der Wunder, World of Wonder. Yeah, that means. I can tell you that changed my view of life, because that all people, very many startup, young people or big people too, who realize something in their business life, and we show it for 100,000, million of people. Yeah, and this is good. This is good. And but it's never enough. But I still, I say, okay, very many people around me say it's too late, we will not survive. Yeah, we have philosophy people, yeah, who tell that in radio shows like that we have still we have 150 years, and that this is crazy. Yeah, we will survive, but we have to fight for that. This is very, very important. Yeah, but it's not by chance.
I completely agree with you. And I mean, your films have reached over 15 million people. That's a lot. And yes, I agree with you. It's not enough. We have to fight for much, much more people watching your movies and then putting this into action. Do you want to share maybe one of the reactions of people on one of your movies which touched you the most?
Touched me the most. Yeah, letters, long letters of people who tell me about their personal situation, that they were so frustrated, and then they saw, one of the most important films was a cinema documentary, international. It was translated into 30 languages. Yeah, I never believed that. But never, we said, okay, doing medias or doing films about ecological subject, not about tragic or kill people. Yeah, this is was the fourth revolution. There were many reactions like that. Who told me what has happened when they was in the situation that they saw the film. Very young people, to a pupil, 100,000 of pupil, yeah. In Japan, I was five times in Japan. There was six times a day they showed the film. Yeah, six times. It's the organization, you should organize it. Yeah. And then that they changed. That they said, okay, you're right. I very often they say I changed my car, or I don't eat meat. This is something which is it's even more difficult. So don't eat, never more eat meat. Then it is more difficult. It's easier to change a car than to change the food. Yes, that's why that they wrote it by letters and all that they phoned, and it's very, 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 very nice. So that's why we are just doing a new film, international film, a hybrid film. It's a docu fiction. Yeah. Main story of a new world. The story we would like to write, this is very difficult. We did a research about 1,000 examples of which could be inside 1,000. Yeah, more than 1 year of research. Yeah, to how would be the world? What is the story of a new world? Yes, this we are just in the situation to realize it.
What word are you hoping people will see after watching the story of a new world?
You know, if you do a film like that, yeah, you shouldn't only present it. Yeah, you need something around that. That's why we created an impact campaign in 50 countries, by the way. Yeah, in 50 countries. And so that means you go out, perhaps you dry your tears or whatever. Yeah, in the emotion of the situation. But outside there are local activities, NGOs or something like that, to say, okay, come on, let's start this here in our village or in our town, perhaps to change the electricity city situation there. So, and that's very interesting. You know, Ideas like that can't realize because of lack of money. This is very the importance of money. That means people who decide to support a film like that, yeah, because it's you have to start by yourself. Nobody, there's not a broadcaster behind that. Perhaps they buy it. And that is the situation at the moment too. Yeah, we still need $700,000. Then we could realize that this is a German, American, U.S., Canadian co-production. Meanwhile, so, and that is if the society is strong enough and would like to get it, we will realize it. We started with the lack of 5 million, so just now it's, let's say, the last 15%. But we have to do have it. That is it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if somebody is interested to support also with a small amount of money, is it possible? So can
Yes.
somebody say, okay, I'm not a wealthy person, but I like the idea. Is it possible if somebody just wants to give, for example, 1,000, 5,000euros?
Yeah, even less. Yeah, even, of course. This is called crowd financing. Yeah, this is one part, and important part was already paid by that. Yeah, so because the documentary part, it is a documentary part, and there's a fictionary part which is realized in America. This is this was nearly financed by crowd financing like that. You can start with small money. It's very easy to find it in the internet. The story of a new world. But you can, if we need, if we have four investors with $200,000, that is done. Then we do it this year, even this year.
Wow. I mean, filmmaking has changed, of course, and I really love the way how courageous and engaged and with new ideas you are moving on, and I think this is this only like this it's possible to do. I mean, you have so many also you would like to bring on the table, just as, for example, Seed of Hope, or I hope that we get also enough money for this as soon as possible. You've been filming change makers around the world. Who has left the deepest impression on you and why?
Of change makers, of colleagues around me?
Change makers, you filmed.
Annabelle, there are so many. Of course, Gorbachev is one of them, of course. Yeah, Gorbachev, yeah. Imagine, yeah. Or even a person like Elon Musk, who has let's say, driven the change of cars. He's a little bit problems in the last month, but. Yeah, people like that, but all by also very small people. This is this Seed of Hope. That is a project, of a female education in Mali, and this is, gives an example how this could work to really to bring people out of their situation. It, especially very important, the women. And this is this Mali project, which we, this is the Seed of Hope, which you're just talking around. And of course, there's somebody who did that, who decided to support that. Yeah, Gunther Weber, a doctor, he decided to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Carl, we could talk for ages longer, I'm sure, about this. And the more I ask, the more questions I get out of my head. Unfortunately, today it comes to an end, but we will give the listeners also some ideas where we can get more food for thought. And I'm very much looking forward to our ongoing exchange and the impact we will continue to make together the world a better place. Thank you, Carl, for being here.
Thank you, Annabelle, for this wonderful talk.
Thank you. So after the commercial break of approximately 2 minutes, we will continue with the two startup entrepreneurs, Nal and Marco. So stay tuned.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad,
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome, Marco, and welcome, Nell, here in the show. I'm very happy to have you.
Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I mean, I know that, I mean, we spent already a couple of hours together, and it's not easy what we try to do now to put some know-how and great experiences and stories into the short format. But this is the, means excellence, right? To be able to break it down into something which makes the people even more interested in what you're doing and who are you. So I tried to introduce you with a few words and hope I get it. Marco, you think that stories are that move people. You turn complex ideas into movements, planning, storytelling, strategy, and sustainable impact. And now you're a kind of synergetic, like a puzzle, I'd say. You're thinking system that scale. You help founders turn ideas into scalable, profitable business models with clarity, impact, and precision. So this sounds like a really, really good match.
Yes, it is indeed. I was very lucky actually to also meet Nell as a co-founder. But yes, I'm an expert in storytelling and psychology and digital marketing. I think it's super important to harness the power of psychology and storytelling in order to reach people, but also to touch them emotionally.
What about when we saw first? Oh, Nell, I interrupted you. You wanted to give you wanted to add something, right?
No, you're totally right. So it's like my passion to scale good business models and have some sales system which are like really leveraging up their business ideas. And so in the end, it's all about entrepreneurship. Yeah.
You two were successful already before you said you want to start something together. And then it turned into, we want to do something together. But you have known each other for much longer, haven't you?
Not so much long. Actually, I think, now, when do we meet? I think 1 year ago?
Yeah, 1.5 years ago, I would say. The first contact was 1.5 years ago, I think.
Yes.
Wow, it sounds much different. When I met you, it felt like you had met or were meeting for ages already, maybe started in the sandbox meeting each other and talking already about the first ideas of entrepreneurship before it felt so matchy meeting you. Maybe we, if we go once back, I mean, what I like is really that you do things which kind of... I mean, we talk about in a professional world about gamification. If we build game-specific things into the business world, but I think we often do it in an adult way. So, do gamification just as the rule says. Do gamification thus and this limitations, and then we limit us. And the power of gamification, which is much much more, we can't unfold. You do it in a different way. Can you a bit describe what makes different? Because for me, it felt really like I said, oh yes, this is exactly why most of the game or a lot of gamification things, the strategies won't work. And Marco and Nell do it differently.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Nell, would you like to start also with the philosophy of Inner God?
Yeah, so for sure. So it's like about bringing people to the moment where they are realizing what they really want to do. So it's all about the inner goat. So it's about the freedom where we are all what we are craving for. And we try to help people to find out their passion and to realize their ideas in terms of entrepreneurship.
Yes, exactly. And I think what you described as the gamification model, Annabelle, I think it's of great importance to tell the stories of entrepreneurs. That's the only way to get inspired as a young entrepreneur that is around 18 to 25, to listen to the stories of the people who are in the same situation, who maybe confronting obstacles that maybe are ahead of you. And then it's more easy to deal with it in a very different, more easy going way.
Absolutely. And so you would say and the secret and the game is to tell stories where you give people the chance to feel already how it could be for yourself, a kind of role modeling. Is this right?
The role model word is difficult because you have role models, for example, with Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, but they are very far ahead of you. So they're very like not touchable, let's say. They have reached a dimension that seems to be not reachable for you as a young entrepreneur. So what we do different is we want to tell the stories of people that are more close to you, that maybe are 1, 2, 3 years ahead. But that's really the game changer from my point of view, to tell the stories of people that are more similar to what you
and And it's really important to see that you can learn so much from people who are or entrepreneurs who are already on that way where you are going to be in 2 years, 5 years. So even people who are not daily on stages could have like really amazing knowledge or practical tips for you as young entrepreneur.
Isn't it sometimes a problem or a challenge? Because it's not every good entrepreneur who could be a kind of a storyteller is a good storyteller or has a good voice, can bring his story into a very small, compact story. Isn't this something where it's getting really complicated?
I think it is a typical learning by doing obstacle. But of course, we also have experts in our community that really talk about the voice, really talk about the stage presence. And I think everyone can really learn how to use their voice properly. I think there's much different factors that really define the pathway of success. It's more about creativity, for example. I mean, I talked about it with my good, very good friend yesterday. The creativity level really dropped. When you were like 5 years old, it was like 98%. And then when you are like an adult, it drops to 2%. So what happens in between? And creativity is the spark of creativity is kind of the inner goat that has to be reactivated. And it only works with learning. Micro-learning would be the best way from our point of view, but it's about confronting and learning by doing.
But if we have like a big package to solve, so it's a perfect fit. Marco is expert in storytelling. From my side, it's the topic sales, and this is a perfect match to bring stories alive. Because if you have like what you said, like people which are not daily on stages, you have to tell them how can they support themselves in a way where younger people say, "Oh wow, now I got it. Now I can go from this point to the next point." Now,
if you have to, if you want to share with us and with the audience here, three hacks of your professional days, what people can do, which are quite successful in what they do, raising a startup, but not successful in how to communicate about themselves, about their idea, because of being shy, because of bad voice, maybe not used to do things, not really happy about standing at the forefront on stage. Can you share with us three hacks?
To begin with, I think it's of great importance to look into the subject mental health. It's nearly half of the founders, I think it's 49% of all founders in the whole world, they struggle with mental health during their pathway. And from my point of view, what is my personal hack is ice bath. So there's a so-called Wim Hof method that leads to the fact that your dopamine spikes like 3 times more. And that really forms your mindset and your endurance. So I think doing things that form your endurance and your willingness to proceed, even though it's difficult, is the first hack that I think is really important. The second one, from my point of view, would be to love failing, because you will at a certain time. And it's a mindset shift, not taking yourself too serious, but also to enjoy the way of failing and to not see it as a real failure, but rather than a like a chance to develop. So go out and speak with people, even though they will not like what you say, but then talk to 10 more, you know what I mean? And the third one that is, I think, really important is build continuous emotional connections. It's much more important. Of course, you can do everything by yourself, but it's so important to meet the right people and to get out. Maybe you're not the one that loves stage presence, but then you meet someone that can do it with you or for you. So it's really about harnessing connections that are close to you.
Yeah, and let me add at least one more. So what is like really important is to have like a certain routine, because if you have like routines, you can train yourself, and out of routines, you evolve a discipline to doing things. For example, sales is like a lot about getting no's and getting more no's. And yeah, it's like about being resilient over time. So you have to train your brain in the way that a no from a person is not a no forever, or it's not a no that maybe it's just not yet a fit. And so you just continue to be, try to be, convincing people, and not, don't give up in the first try.
We talked about psychology, and you said how important psychology is. Mental health is, of course, something which is, of course, health and psychology. But if we talk about psychology, it's, of course, as a foreigner, not only the psychology you need for a strong self, but, of course, also for better sales and stronger communities. How can founders use psychology better to do this?
I think nowadays, knowledge is everywhere, especially when you have your little ChatGPT in your pocket. There's so many biases in psychology, like the confirmation bias, for example. There's so many biases that you should be aware of, not just to understand the thinking of others, but rather than of yourself. Because you have sometimes blockages that are not explainable. And psychology gives you a way to explain why a certain behavior is like this and that. And that gives you the opportunity to change it. So there, I could tell millions of psychological methods, but it's important to make your own research and to look into psychological biases from my point of view.
Yeah, and it's not about only about triggers. It's about understanding why people should care about you, about your community. And a strong community is like, at least build on three things. So emotional connection, trust, and well, stability. So in the end, when people in that community feel safe or even seen, then they open up, and there it's starting, like loyalty is starting from that point on. And so the sales process afterwards or something else is like coming from belonging, not from you putting pressure on the people.
And if you think, I mean, I remember just a situation in working at Samsonite, where In my team for the luxury, at one of the luxury stores, there was a woman and she was dressed very luxurious always. She was wearing Louis Vuitton on her own and Louis Vuitton shoes. But she had a really problem with selling. And once I talked with her and I said, "What is your problem? I mean, you're dressed. I have no idea why can't you sell a suitcase for 5,000 euros? What's the problem?" And she said, She said, "Have you thought about these people getting into the store?" I say, "What? They come to buy. So they're not entering the store because they want to chat, they want to sit down and take a nap. They want to buy something. So why not taking them?" And she said, "Yeah, but maybe one can't afford 5,000 euros is a lot." So I said, "This problem happens in your head. You don't you can't think that anybody pays 5,000 euros for a suitcase because you won't. But think about the target group. Step in the heads of the people of the target group. You have to think different. Is this often the case that the people stay more with themselves in their own struggles than understanding to whom they should talk or who's on their side, who's the target group?"
Like the biggest problem, what I was seeing in my whole career with helping entrepreneurs, it's always in their head. And like, for example, we're thinking about the LinkedIn post, how many people react, how many people talk about my maybe not that good LinkedIn post. But in the end of the day, we're taking ourselves too serious and forgetting about that. People always caring about themselves. So it's always in our head, and we have to overcome that ideas about being not that good enough or the product is not good enough. It is. It is just a way you have your trust in yourself and the confidence to show that to people. Would you agree, Marco?
Yes, I really agree. It is in the head of yourself. It's about keep on trying and trying to be to open yourself, even if people don't react as you want it to have.
So we have not that much time left, but I would like to jump quickly into your brain, and I would like you to share one sentence you would like to share with the listeners, which you think which is important for now, or just for their own vision and for their own future.
Yeah, I can start with that. So remember where you start is the one sentence which giving you the feeling of in the daily hustle of entrepreneur back to the beginning, and you will feel that you will grow with this moment to remember yourself why you started.
Marco?
To put everything together that we said about psychology and storytelling, I think storytelling builds emotions. Psychology turns the emotions into action, and people buy the why and not the what. So try to figure out what is your why, and that will give you the power to succeed.
So who's asking why can look up Innergoat, and I give the audience also some links. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. And that wraps, unfortunately, our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of people around the globe. Join us again next week and stay with us. Thank you for being part of our community. Until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together, we rise.